Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Hi, this is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish speaking peoples. Hello and good morning, everybody. Welcome to Speak Up on this wonderfully autumnal Thursday morning here at 10 a.m. As you can probably tell, I am not your usual host. I'm not Jessie. Hi, I am Rebecca, the public affairs intern here at CJSF. And I'm going to be your host this morning and for the next couple of Thursday mornings to give you all the up-to-date campaign highlights for the upcoming provincial election here in BC. And you may recognize my voice from featuring on Intravenous or a couple open mic sessions. Anyway, today I wanted to talk to you all about the upcoming provincial election happening here in BC on October 19th. I find that back home in England, a lot of young people are discouraged from voting in elections because they find it very difficult to follow and understand the policies that the parties are standing for because they sort of get muddled in with the sensationalist headlines that focus on the conflict and differences in the leaders of the parties rather than their proposed policies. So I thought that I would break down the three major parties' stances on the key issues that have been brought up so far in the past week and a half of campaigning. So we're going to look into their stances on healthcare, housing, and the environment. And before all of that, I am going to just highlight a couple of key bits of information that regard the upcoming election, a couple of like notable things that have happened. But I know Jessie likes to start with some local music here, so I have got a song for us to play before we get all into that. So this song is called Tell Me It's All Right by the artist Wash. It's a Vancouver-based artist, and that's Wash spelt with two A's. And it's off their self-titled album, and I hope you enjoy. Welcome back to Speak Up. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. And I am Rebecca, and I'm going to be your host on giving you the up-to-date information on the campaigning happening for the BC provincial elections at the moment. So to start off with, I thought we could go into a couple of highlights that have happened kind of the past week and a bit of campaigning that has started. So to begin, we have now got the full release of the candidates. So the final candidate list was officially released on the 28th of September. And we have 323 candidates running across 93 ridings. And there have been 6 new ridings added to the political map because the province has had to adjust its electoral district boundaries due to population growth. So the BC New Democratic Party and BC Conservative parties are running 93 candidates each, and the BC Greens are running 69. And there are about 40 independent candidates and 14 unaffiliated candidates, some of which are former BC United candidates, which we'll get into just in a second as to why they're not part of BC United now. But definitely go check out now online to see the candidates running in your area, as the official list has now been posted up. So with BC United, what happened at the end of August was the official opposition party currently, which is BC United, formerly BC Liberals, ended their party's campaign to avoid a vote split with the Conservatives. So their leader, Kevin Falcon, has given his full support to the BC Conservatives and is now encouraging BC United voters to vote Conservative rather than splitting the vote between the two parties, which is why there are now some unaffiliated candidates which were BC United candidates running. And we're going to be discussing today the three major party standings on issues that have come up the past week and a half as the top issues that our voters concerned with, which will be housing, healthcare, and there have been some discussion on the environment, but the public affairs work study, Iago, will be covering climate issues a bit more in the election over the next week. So I've only got very brief information for that. And some key dates to keep everyone reminded of are that to register to vote in this election will close on October 7th, which is next Monday. So be sure to register to vote before next Monday. The final day to vote is October 19th, which is in 2 weeks on Saturday. And the different ways that you can vote, there is advance voting, which takes place from October 10th to October 13th, and then October 15th to October 16th. You can also request a vote by mail package online or by your phone until October 13th. After October 13th, you will have to request a vote by mail package at any district electoral office, and you can do that up until the final voting day of October 19th. And finally, you can also just vote in person at any district electoral office from now until October 19th. Now, the current political environment in BC is that the party that is currently in power is the BC New Democratic Party, the BCNDP, and its leader is David Eby, who is the current premier. And then you have the current opposition being BC United, which is led by Kevin Falcon. And the other two major parties will be BC Conservative Party, led by John Rastad, and the BC Green Party, led by Sonia Fustenau. And the BCNDP has been majority power since 2020, with David Eby being the premier since 2022. And that's sort of just a brief overview of what the political situation has been before this election and some important things to note going into this election. So we're now going to start with looking at each party's stances, promises, proposals, if they are elected, in regard to the healthcare issues that are currently happening in BC. So to start off with, we have the BCNDP. So they have said that they would expand the conditions in which pharmacists can test and prescribe for in order to include more illnesses. They will be adding more physician assistants and expanding the range of services they provide. They are also wanting to get more medical professionals back to work through provincial licenses for doctors, nurses, and midwives, all trained in Canada, as well as making it easier to get the same licenses for professionals trained in regions out of the country, looking about like 6 weeks to get the license, is what they have promised. They have also promised that a re-elected NDP government will cover travel costs for cancer treatments and will expand employment protections for people that have serious illnesses up to 27 weeks. They also would promise to reduce time-consuming paperwork for doctors. So they will get rid of sick notes and other quote-unquote tedious paperwork in order to give doctors more face-to-face time with their patients. And lastly, they have promised as of a nurse-to-patient ratio to combat the short staff illness that's being experienced in the healthcare system. So they've said they'll have one nurse to three patients for general emergency, one nurse for one patient for trauma, and one nurse for four patients for short surgical stays. And that is what the NDP has so far spoken about in regard to how they will tackle the healthcare issues if they are re-elected. Now, the BC Conservative Party has said that they will offer care through both public and non-governmental facilities, expanding the use of private clinics. They will implement a wait time guarantee and will arrange for care outside the province if services are unavailable in BC. They will expand programs to incentivize doctors and nurses to work in high-need communities and reduce administrative costs in healthcare to focus on spending money on frontline staff. They are going to compensate healthcare workers who lost their jobs due to refusing the COVID-19 vaccine and repeal the Health Professions and Occupations Act by sweeping legislation that will merge BC health regulatory colleges from 15 to 6. And finally, the BC Green Party's stance on healthcare. They will establish a network of 93 community health centres across the province within the first year as part of their Dogwood model. And this is to replace the current network of urgent and primary care centres. This model for them, they have said, will streamline complicated referrals and ensure comprehensive care all in one place with access to doctors, nurses, mental health professionals, specialists, all within a patient's community. And they will lease and administer workspaces under the Dogwood model to allow healthcare professionals to focus on patient care. They have also promised to make vaccines free for all people in British Columbia, and funding for nurses in the public healthcare system will be increased, although they have yet to specify by how much. And tobacco sales in pharmacies will end as well, with advertising for nicotine and vaping products ending too. So that is the three main parties so far, their stances and promised proposals for if they are elected in this upcoming election regarding healthcare. Those could get added to over the next few weeks of campaigning. That might not be everything, but that is an overview of what their main points have been so far.
Every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., tune in to Department Uno to hear the latest and greatest from the CJSF playlist, featuring all new music from local, Canadian, and international artists. Fresh releases from the music department every week on Department Uno, only on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Soca's first and second year social is happening soon. Join us at Soca, the Students of Caribbean and African Ancestry, in the Student Union Building, room 1430, on Friday, October 4th, from 5 p.m. onwards. This event is for the first and second years to meet and connect with new friends. All are welcome. See you there.
And welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. we have just heard the overview of the BC NDP, BC Conservatives and BC Green parties' stances on the healthcare issues if they were to be elected in the upcoming provincial election. Now we're going to move on to the stances that they have for housing to combat the housing issues that we are seeing in BC. So starting off again with the NDP, they have a Homes for People plan that they have committed to, and they want to put $1.29 billion Canadian dollars per year in financing the province paying 40% of the price of homes to help more middle class and first time buyers into the housing markets. So the government will be partnering with non-profit organizations, local governments, First Nations, and market housing providers to help identify land and projects for development. And the government funding and low-cost land would then allow builders to offer units 40% below market price and buyers only having to fund the remaining 60%. So this will mean smaller down payments, smaller monthly payments, and the taxpayers will be protected. They have specified that it is a loan, it's not a grant, so the homeowner will be paying interest on it. And when the homeowners sell the house, the 40% that the province paid will have to be repaid with the addition of the appreciation value. Also, if the home is not sold, the provincial contribution will need to be repaid back 25 years on from the purchase date. And this will support the development of up to 25,000 new units over the next 5 years, 12,000 new students' beds, which they've said they've already opened 5,260 and 5,500 are in construction currently. And they want to cut red tape that prevents construction on smaller multi-unit developments and to use public land to build more homes. They are planning to continue to cap residential rent at or below inflation and want to bring in pre-approved designs to speed up construction on new homes in BC. And their overall Homes for People plan will be helping first-time buyers to get into the market, with the province providing 40% of the price at the start. That will then get paid back. The BC Conservatives, on the other hand, released what they called Rustad rebate, the BC rent and mortgage rebate, and it will remove BC income taxes from $3,000 per month of housing costs for both renters and homeowners, beginning with budget 2026. It will be $1,500 per month in rent, mortgage interest, and strata fees that will be exempt from BC income tax. This amount will then increase by $500 per year until they reach their goal of $3,000. And this rebate will be the equivalent to BC's base tax bracket of 5.06% multiplied by eligible housing costs. Rustad has also said that he plans to eliminate provisions under Bill 44, which allow multi-unit housing in single-family home neighborhoods. And his party has also planned to bring in incentives for rental construction and promises not to bring in low barrier housing or shelters in communities that do not want them. Now, the BC Green Party have said that if they were elected, they were promising to build 26,000 affordable rental units per year through projects like housing cooperatives. And they plan to utilize public land specifically for non-profit housing and to purchase more land on which to build affordable housing as part of a $1.5 billion housing $1 billion housing project. Now, they are the only party so far to promise introducing vacancy control so that landlords can't hike the rent up in between tenants as well. The BC NDP and the BC Conservatives have not touched upon that yet. That could be coming up, though. And the BC Green Party have also announced a plan to increase tax rates for homes valued over $3 million in order to make wealthy owners pay more. So that is the overview as of right now on what the BC NDP, BC Conservatives and BC Greens have said on housing. I am sure, though, that we will hear more on that in the next week of campaigning. Moving on to the environment, we have the BC NDP changing its stance a bit from supporting the carbon tax to now. They have said that if the federal government decides to drop the carbon tax as a requirement, that they would scrap it in BC as well if they are re-elected, and will shift the burden of carbon pricing to the big polluters. So carbon tax are additional prices that are put onto the purchase of fossil fuels in order to push consumers to go for greener options. And this sort of scheme has been returning revenue back to residents through tax credits. And the idea of that over time, it is to increase. However, this carbon tax has now started to become increasingly unpopular due to the increased cost of living that everyone in BC is experiencing. The BC NDP is also committed to the low carbon fuel standard. They are going to set out stage targets and offer financial incentives to increase the amount of renewable or low carbon fuels by companies selling diesel, jet fuel and gasoline to reduce emissions and grow the clean fuel industry. And they have the Clean BC roadmap, where they are hoping by 2030 to meet their climate target of reducing emissions by 40% and to reach net zero by 2050. Now, this roadmap plan includes a range of measures and incentives aimed at the sectors that generate the largest amount of emissions. So you're looking at transport, you're looking at oil, gas, buildings, industry, all of those sectors. And then to meet a rise of 15% in demand for clean electricity by 2030, they have said they will increase BC Hydro's capital plan by 50% and issued its first call for renewable energy projects, expecting to contribute 5% of to the province's electrical supply. Now, the BC Conservatives, they have said that they stand similarly on some climate topics to the BC NDP. They also have said that they want to get rid of the carbon tax, but have also said they want to get rid of the clean fuel standard and gas tax, which the BC NDP have said that they're not going to. And these taxes and standards do fund some of the regional public transport as well. So it'd be interesting to know what happens, what their plan is if they're getting rid of that, if they were elected, where the funds will come from to go into regional public transit. They have also vowed to tear up the Clean BC roadmap that the BC NDP have and suggested a science and technology approach as solutions to climate change. There is yet to be more detail on that, though, but I'm sure there'll be more detail in the coming weeks of the election campaigning. Rustad has also said that his party climate change plan will focus on food production, water management, and infrastructure, but we are yet to know the specifics of those. And he has also said that EVs and heat pumps would put the province into an electricity deficit and has suggested nuclear energy for BC instead, which will, well, the BC electrical